Hello and welcome to the Divorce to Dadvocate, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval and I am your host, and I want to thank you for being here today. And we've got an important topic that seems to have come up quite a bit this week, and it was probably the primary topic of conversation in our group meeting on this Saturday morning. And that is the what to do when the ex is bad mouthing you to the kids. And so they were going to share some ideas. First, we're going to talk about what that means to be bad mouthing. It's fairly straightforward, but then we're also going to talk about some tips and tools that you can utilize in attempting to mitigate that, and also what our goals are long-term in mitigating those challenges. But before we get going on that, show notes again are the divorce quiz is still up at the website at thedivorcedadvocate.com under the tab divorce quiz. It's a great, great opportunity to see where you're out at, gauge where you're at compared to others who have gone through a divorce. It'll give you some immediate results. You'll be able to look at those. If you want to schedule some time to chat about the results or anything else, you have an opportunity to do that as well once you take the quiz. So check it out at the website, or you can find it directly at thedivorcequiz.com. Again, that's thedivorcequiz.com. All right. So this happens probably at least once at some point in most people's divorce, whether it's consciously happens between even the most amicable of divorces, or it happens all of the time in divorces that are high conflict, or even with somebody that is mentally disordered and has some mental emotion issues and challenges. It's obviously the latter is where it becomes an issue that you really need some tools and strategies around to deal with, particularly if the parent is bordering where they are attempting to or are alienating the children. And we a couple of weeks ago talked about that in one of the episodes of what is parental alienation and how to deal with it. So check that episode out if you haven't already. This kind of is the precursor of that. And when I'm chatting with men and I hear stories about this and stories about their ex saying things to the kids, it's dependent upon the circumstance. It always raises at least a red flag in my mind to be paying attention to this. So if you do see this happen once or twice, then I would highly recommend that that you implement some of these strategies we're going to talk to here, because it can potentially lead to some harmful consequences, particularly with the kiddos down the road. But we'll chat about that. But before we do, let's just define specifically what bad mouthing is, and then we'll talk about why it happens. And bad mouthing can be defined as name calling, or it can be disproportional blaming. You get that a lot with exes that are upset and bitter and want to try to justify something, and it makes them feel better by telling the kids something about the other parents. And this can include telling half truths or omitting truths or telling outright lies, gaslighting, passive aggressive tactics such as backhanded compliments, constant criticism, or telling disparaging negative or biased stories. And like I said, sadly, the children are ones that are oftentimes hearing this. And obviously it's coming from a hurt, right? Where one of the parents is saying these mean things to about the other parents. And the challenge here, though, is that our children take their identity from both parents, no matter how egregious anybody's action was. And especially when they're younger, they take part of their identity from both parents. So when one parent or the other is bad mouthing the other parent, they're literally bad mouthing the children. What this does is that it gives the kids, it literally places on them emotional baggage that they end up having to carry. And if it gets to the point where it's egregious, then it becomes something that they have to learn how to cope with and deal with. And then they create these adaptive behaviors in order to pacify or even survive their environment with the parent that may be doing this. And those have long-term implications. And we've talked about behaviors and these adaptive behaviors in the past on the show, and how they help us in childhood, but then when we're older, then they don't serve our needs anymore, but we still have these thought processes and ideas, and they come into play and can literally have a huge impact on our adult relationships, both romantically and professionally and across the board. And so that's why, particularly if you're the parent that is being badmouthed, it's critical to pay attention and understand that this can be a problem in the future, and you do need to take action to do it. Maybe it happens once, maybe it happens twice, particularly if it's near the beginning or just post-divorce, that there could have been a time where the ex is just not taking the time to learn and understand what it is their actions are, and what the consequences are for those actions and the impact on the kids. So the first thing you need to do is make sure that you acknowledge the behavior. And so, you want to acknowledge it, but you don't want to add fuel to the fire. So you don't want to get defensive or attack them and say things like, I am not, or I do not, especially with the kids. And oftentimes the kids will come and they'll say something to you. I've had it happen lots of times, but you can diffuse that by saying something. And my favorite was, I'm really sorry that he or she is saying that to you or said that to you. Other things you can say is, that must have been very hard for you to hear, or what you heard may have and point out a feeling scared you or made you sad or made you angry, etc. And we'll talk about those prompts and talking about the feelings as well. But it's important to acknowledge, but try to acknowledge without escalating it and making it more emotional. And that takes us to the next point, which is really remain calm. And I'm going to add non-emotional about it. Just I got to tell you, it's heartbreaking to have one of your children come to you and say something negative about you that one of your parents, the other parent has told you, and think that maybe they in their minds would believe something like that about you. And so that obviously can trigger all kinds of emotions and feelings coming up when they might bring that to you. But this is, I feel like this is probably the most critical part of this whole process and these tips and tools to ensure that you're going to make it comfortable and create an environment for the kiddos to come with you or come to you with this information to be able to then talk about it, because that's what we want to do, is we want to be able to facilitate a conversation and facilitate an environment that allows them to come to you and have this conversation, and remaining non-emotional about that, about whatever comment that is or whatever happened, if it's a direct interaction with your ex or soon to be ex, that you remain calm. And that might mean that you need to just take some deep breaths, excuse yourself, go somewhere. We talked about tips and tricks about when these emotions come up and what we need to do immediately. It could be just taking deep breaths. It could be going for a walk. It could be journaling. It could be any one of the number of things that we've talked about and ideas that we've shared here. But make sure to remain calm. Your kiddos need this. It also gives you an opportunity to model for them when something that's challenging is said to them, that they know how to react to that, that they don't get up in arms, or they don't break down, that they do take that and they find a way to process what they have heard and process what may come up from what they heard. So remain calm and non-emotional when doing this. The next thing is to make sure to call out the behavior. Okay, so that's a little bit different than acknowledging the behavior, and it's different specifically in the context of if you're having a direct conversation with your ex or soon to be ex, and the kids are there. So they might be doing something like this in front of the kids, and then it's critical to call that out and say something directly to them, because this is a behavior, like I said, you need to nip in the bud, because it's going to have an impact on the kiddos. Now, obviously, this is an uncomfortable situation if you see this happening, and not all of us are comfortable with having direct conflict with our exes or soon to be exes. But I would highly encourage you in this circumstance that it is a time where that is absolutely critical for you to, if you're not comfortable with conflict or having difficult conversations that are potentially high conflict, that you figure out some tools in order to do that. And it can be as simple as coming up with one-line statements that you'll have in your back pocket for the next time that it comes up. Because if they did it once and they did it in front of the kids, there's a high probability that it's going to happen again in front of the kids. And so that can look like something like, it's not okay to speak to me like that, or to me or about me like that. And you can just say it firmly, and then you can walk away. And you can then open up the opportunity, and we're going to talk about this next with the kiddos, to have the conversation about that conflict, because again, we're modeling behaviors, right? And they're going to learn from watching us. They're going to have, and we have had, and we'll continue to have conversations that are uncomfortable, that potentially have high conflict, and that we know if we continue to bury our heads in the sand about and don't do something and don't address, that they will only grow and create more problems. So we don't want to do that. Now, the flip side is we don't want to create a big fight in a situation that's with our exes, where we start then in front of the kids having a fight. And so we don't need to escalate it. And in this case, you can say something to the fact, if they start on with something, that this is an adult issue and we'll talk or we'll discuss this later when the children aren't around. That's okay. Then you can just set it for another time, but don't forget it. Make sure that you do go back and that you do address this, whether that's through a message, an email message, a text message, or scheduling a time if you're able to, and the relationship is healthy enough to schedule a time to talk about it with your ex and chat about how you felt and go through the steps of nonviolent communication and what it is that you want and set the boundaries and then state what your needs are, et cetera, around that. If maybe you didn't really realize it, and or you did ignore it, and you did not want to have that make a difficult statement or have a conversation that was in conflict, then you can say something to your kids after it, like, "I'm sorry you heard your mom or dad speak like that. It's not an okay way to talk about someone." Again, this just calls out the behavior, because they are going to have these, whether it's on the playground or in their early adult life, in school or college, or or in their relationships or professional relationships, they're going to have to deal with this. So it helps them to see and know and understand by you verbalizing them that that is not okay, so that they can recognize that when they see that in other people, when it's being done to them. So again, model this behavior. Now talk about the feelings. Ask how, you know, the first thing we do, and again, this is because we've remained calm and we've created a safe environment for them to have this conversation with us. We can say, we can ask them questions like, you know, what, how are you feeling about that? Or, you know, when your mom says or something bad about me, how does that make you feel? And so this goes to what I said earlier, in that we want to facilitate an environment that allows them to always feel safe in sharing with you what their emotions are, how they feel about things, and are providing them with an example of how to handle things in a more appropriate nature going forward, because they're going to need these skills when they're adults. So we want to help them to grow into healthy adults. So by being able to share with them, ask them how they might feel about these things, then you can help to facilitate that. And there's a couple of ways that you can do this. Is you can ask how you can encourage the kids to share the way they feel with the other parent, right? So you can say, well, when you speak that way about dad, then I feel X. Or you can also share with the kids how your ex might be feeling also, which is a very mature thing to do, especially if they are bad mouthing you in a conscious, intentional way. And like I was saying earlier, in a way that you feel is attempting to alienate you. But still, again, helping them to have empathy with how a parent is, somebody is feeling in general, is a great life school to, or a life skill to help them to have and be prepared with in their adult life. And that can sound like something like when people are hurt or angry, they may not be able to see things clearly. Sometimes they forget the nice way to behave and might say things that they don't truly mean. And again, so this is situational, right? Those of you that are listening, and those of us that deal with people that are personality disorder, to have some mental emotion issues, this one's a little bit more difficult and a little bit more challenging to have the conversations with our kiddos about. But again, try to do that, take that high road and allow them, because whether we believe it or not, our exes are having some form of feelings and our emotions and feelings around those emotions that are causing them to behave in this way. And so it's not at all a lie. Now, it might be difficult and challenging for us to get in tune with that or even relate to it, because it's not something we don't think that same way. But pointing it out to our children is beneficial, and like I said, can teach them to learn to develop that tool of empathy for other people. Versions of the truth. Now, this is one for families that I, or at least relationships, co-parenting relationships, divorces, where there's more of a healthy dialogue and relationship with your ex and with the children, and having conversations around this. And versions of the truth just simply means that it means that you're acknowledging that everyone is entitled to their own perspective and understanding of what the quote unquote real story might be, or what their experience is. And so, you know, just like 2, 3, 5 different people watching or witnessing something happen can have 5 different versions of it. Different people who go through the same experience will have different versions of the truth about what happened. And so pointing that out to your kids is really incredibly healthy, if it can be done in a healthy manner. And this is, again, this really going to help them in growing into healthy adults, understanding that there are versions of the truth. And hey, this would be a great one if everybody learned this in our modern day society, right? Instead of the opposite, which is everybody's truth is that's it. And you want to make them all believe it, because that's just not the way that the real world works. So versions of truth is a probably more graduate level, if you will, tool to be able to utilize yourself and to teach your kids. And the last one is presenting the facts. Now, this is last for a reason, and it is last for a reason because this is not what we want to lead with. Because if we lead with this, it goes back to what we talked in the beginning, which is remaining, you know, acknowledging the behavior, but remaining calm and not getting defensive about stuff, because a lot of our natural tendencies would be to get defensive immediately and start spouting off, this is what happened, or that's what happened, or your mom's not paying, or is telling you lies, et cetera, et cetera. You can present the facts, and that can be done in a age appropriate manner. And the thing that this really helps with is battling gaslighting. Gaslighting for yourself, you know, and gaslighting your children, because this is abusive. Gaslighting is abusive. It's abusive to you. It's abusive to your children. And when somebody's doing it, presenting the facts is really the only way that you can do it. But you've got to have all this other stuff in place before you can do that, because it takes an immense amount of control and mental and emotional control in order to talk about what the facts are and remove the emotions and feelings from the conversation, so that you can simply state, again, in an age appropriate manner to them what may have happened, without attempting to prove anything to them, without trying to take the other parent down. And you know, this can look like something like, I'm sorry that mom's talking to you about that. I believe that's adult stuff, and it's not something you need to worry about. It's true. Each of us has less money than we did when we all lived together, but there's plenty of money to pay for the things we need, right? That'd be an example if an ex came and or was telling the kids that you stole their money or took all the money or irresponsible with money. That would be a very mature and beneficial way to address that with the kids. Now, with some, and oftentimes you might be very surprised, and I was, that that's all that it may take as far as the conversation, that they just needed to know and feel comfortable with that not being true, so that they didn't have to internalize that and think bad feelings or have bad feelings towards you that were untrue. And so that may be the end of the conversation. And then if you've talked to them about the next time that comes up, they can say something to the to your ex about, well, when you say something about daddy, that makes me feel whatever it is. And so that's why, again, having those previous steps ready and in place before doing this one, before presenting the facts, is critically, critically important. Now, older kids, they might want more detail, and it is okay to present more detail with them, but also in a manner in which that is necessary, really. Some conversations just aren't necessary if they're just looking for dirt, if they're just looking to validate something that may be a negative that they're having or feeling about your ex. It's just not necessary to go into specific detail with some of this stuff. So again, gauge this. It's age dependent, it's situationally dependent, but to take the time and go through it in your mind, and maybe even practice the conversation before you have it. And actually, that wasn't the last one. There is another one, which is give your kids permission to think for themselves. Now, this is a huge one, because when we do this, we give them agency, right? We give them the skills and permission and power to think for themselves. We're not trying to sway them one way or another, because that's the hard part, taking that emotion out. And we want them to be able to think for themselves and come to their own conclusion. So, you know, they shouldn't feel like they have to defend you, or defend anybody else. And, you know, you want them to have the words in an open and accepting and calm environment, and that they can come to you and think and ask you questions. And so, you know, it just is a huge, huge opportunity to allow them another fantastic life skill, opposed to when you just want to clear your name or the situation because it's going to make you feel better. I know that is so hard, especially when you hear something bad about yourself coming from your young child that is absolutely not true. But if you put it in the context and you can reframe it around, man, I really want them to have the agency when there are adults to be able to figure this out and figure out their situations by themselves. And I need to give them the permission to think about this for themselves and figure this out for themselves. Then that goes a long way. And you might have to tell yourself this over and over in that little timeout we talked about before, you know, to control your emotions and not get emotional. You may have to just say over and over, you know, you could say something like, this is a marathon, not a sprint, right? You don't have to be right now. You don't have to set the record straight right now. And I assure you, for those of you that have younger children that are listening, that they will figure this out. When they're younger, it might just be a feeling that they have that they energetically pick up on between the two different environments in the house, particularly if there is one parent that is bad mouthing the other parent. But when they do get older, it will become a conscious observation and a conscious choice then to have that agency and understand more about what's happening, and then think for themselves and make a decision around it, and they will figure it out. We don't give them enough credit. They figure these things out earlier, subconsciously, older, consciously. So I promise you, and they are resilient. The next one is, be the parent you most want your ex to be. And I don't need to say too much more about this, because all the tools of everything that we've just talked about and the tips that I just shared is what you want them to be. And this takes practice, right? Just like anything else that we do, it takes practice. The first time you might, and you probably will get it wrong. You might just want to defend yourself, and you might just come out and blurt out that that's not true, or your ex is wrong, or whatever it is. It's okay. Just give yourself some grace and go back and work on doing it the right way the next time. And then this is the last one, which is have the hard conversation with your ex. If it goes on and it goes on and it continues, have that conversation. Burying your head in the sand is not a strategy for success, and it will only indulge them and only help them to continue this abusive behavior. It's going to have a huge detriment on the kids. Will have an impact on them in their adult life. So have that hard conversation sooner than later. If you don't want to do it face-to-face, prompt it through an email or a text. But I highly suggest doing it face-to-face, because you do not want to perpetuate a circumstance or an unhealthy relationship or a relational dynamic that you've had with your ex during your divorce. After your divorce, there's a reason that you are divorcing them or have divorced them. So you want to nip that in the bud. Otherwise, it will go on and on and on, and you'll have the same or similar dynamic in your co-parenting after the relationship is over and the marriage is done that you had during the marriage. And you do not want that. It's not going to be beneficial to you. It's not going to be beneficial to the children. So a couple of don'ts, we've talked about some of these, but here's two specific ones that I just want to emphasize, and that is, do not minimize the significance of what is happening. I think that I've abundantly made that clear throughout all of these tips, but don't hide from this. Pay attention to it. And oftentimes, if this had happened, and I know this was my experience, if you nip this in the bud earlier, then it can have an impact on in minimizing or eliminating parental alienation in the future. So it potentially, right? So we don't, there's no definitives, but it could potentially help that. So pay attention. And then the second is don't add fuel to an already emotional fire by firing back directly, especially via your kids, right? Like I said, you might slip up the first time or second time or once in a while, but just acknowledge it. If you do, and you do it via your kids, acknowledge it with your kids. And it's a good opportunity to have the conversation about making mistakes with your children and the mistake you had and how you are sorry and how you would like for them to forgive them and how you're going to be better in the future. So that's okay. It's going to happen. It happens to all of us. All right, let's just summarize and recap the do's, which are the positive, proactive things that we can do, which is 1, take a breath, stay calm. 2, offer a calm response that isn't emotional, or at least overtly emotional. 3, tell them you're sorry they heard that from their parent. Need to make them aware that it's not appropriate. 4, address how they are feeling. 5, teach them the skills to communicate with the parent how the behavior makes them feel. 6, tell your kids it's not okay to speak about people like that. 7, explain that sometimes people who are hurt or angry say things they might not say when they are calm. And lastly, tell them you will handle the situations by speaking to your ex, as it's really a grown-up issue. Again, this takes them out of the middle and relieves them of the burden that they may be taking upon themselves to fix or figure out the situation, or the guilt or shame that they may be placing on themselves because they feel that there's something that they need to be doing. I really hope that you found some value in this topic today on what to do when your ex is bad mouthing you. I highly suggest, if you have not plugged in to the community, we have all kinds of resources in the show notes below, or you can go to thedivorcedadvocate.com and check out the resources that we have there. You can schedule a call directly with me and I can run through some of them. But like I mentioned at the top of the show, which was just on our call this last Saturday, this was one of the main topics we talked about. And we shared a lot of these tips and tricks with each other. We went through scenarios, we practiced stuff with the handful of guys that were on the call talking about this. It is incredibly important for you to not self-isolate, to surround yourself with people that you can share stuff like this and other things during your divorce. And that is what our community is about. That's what the Divorce Advocate community is about. And we're here for you. So please plug in at whatever level you are comfortable with, however you feel comfortable with. We've got all kinds of resources, from the group meetings to the workshops, to the classes, to the podcast, to individual coaching as well. And always, if you did find value, please share this on social media, share this with a divorced or divorcing dad. Just share, please. We're growing. We've got lots of great, more resources coming up here in the future. And we've got a lot of exciting plans. And it's definitely thanks to you for listening and helping this. Leave a comment, leave a review, a thumbs up, whatever it might be on whatever social media platform or means of communication that you have with your sphere of influence. Thanks so much for listening. God bless. Have a wonderful week.